Let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll go on. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You've heard Brother Benny say or quote this many a times, and I was thinking on a job the other day after I heard some bad news. This scripture come to me about how the, in the latter part of it, it says, and we'll forgive their sin and we'll heal their land. If we're ever in a time that our land needs to be healed, it's today. But it's not going to be. It says here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, but they're not going to do it. And God knew that Solomon was going to backslide. And this is why he told him. After he had already performed the sacrifice, burned the sacrifice up, this is later on. I think it's the next day that God told him this. But it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Jeremiah, the 14th chapter. Let's start the 11th through the 19th verse. It says, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. First, let's start with the 10th verse. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. I feel like America has just about got to this point right here. The people has turned away from God all over the country. They've accepted a form of godliness, but they've all denied the power thereof. We've got more churches than we've ever had, but they've all left God. Here he's telling Jeremiah, it doesn't do any good to pray for him anymore or to fast because I'm not going to hear you. They've went too far, used to, when you prayed. I covered their sins up. The Bible says he cast them into the depths of the sea. But he says now, at the latter part of the 12th verse, he says, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Let's go up to the 10th verse. He says, he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. That's 10th verse, last part, 10th verse was wanting. God can remember your past sins, your former sins. If you turn away from God and you reject God, and no matter what God tells you to do and you refuse to do it, God can remember your past sins. Amen. A little bit farther it says, then say I, O Lord God, behold a prophet say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. On the way home from work, I heard a song talking about how there's going to be a revival sweep the country. And how this man was saying in his song that it was already started. I'd like to talk to that man and find out just where it is started at, because it's not started anywhere in America that I could tell. There may be places that God is moving, and there may be anointings in different places, but they're very far between the points that I'm talking about. There is no revival in America like what we need to bring this country back to its knees and get it to, on the path to God. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto a false vision and a vanishing, and a thing of naught and deceit of the heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, but sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Now, this right here more or less is telling the punishment that's going to be received upon those that prophesy lies. And then it says, therefore thou shalt say in the 17th verse, this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. If I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. 19th verse, hast thou utterly rejected Judea? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We look for peace, and there is no good. For the time of healing, and behold trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. We'll go a little bit farther. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. In the 15th chapter, first verse. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. That was a little bit of reading I wanted to get through. Because as we were just reading a few minutes ago, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And he goes on and he tells that he would even heal their land. And now we read in Jeremiah where he says he won't do it anymore. And we read in the 19th verse, he says, we look for peace and there is no good, and for the time of healing and to behold trouble. I believe America has gone just a little bit too far. I believe we went so far that I don't believe that anybody will ever see a great revival sweep across this country, because the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. All right, now in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, y'all know the scripture well. If I can find it real quickly. Well, I can't find it right now. I'll just quote it to you best I can. It talks about how that there's going to be a falling away. And thinking about how that in the day we live in, since I was a boy in this church, how that it seemed like I could look around and I could count all those that's missing that used to be here. And it's got to the place now that I've not even heard of most of them. I mean, they're just forgotten. And then I think about when the young people group started, how that there were so many young people that used to be with us that are no longer there. And they're forgotten. Never remembered hardly at all anymore. Unless it's family. And that is very rare. Thinking of my sister, I thought, Lord, it's got to where in a place that I can't even pray for my sister unless you bid me a burden to do so. Well, you know I'm telling the truth tonight. It's hard to pray for someone else. Because it's a struggle to keep herself clean. The 4th chapter, 13th verse says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them, him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain upon unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All right, now, let's go back to the 2nd chapter, or 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Just bear with me a little bit. We'll get it here in just a minute. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. Now, we just got through talking about the falling away. And how the days been many that everybody in here can at least count 10 people that you used to know that has backslid and went back on God. There may have been a time when there was a great move of the Spirit in the churches, in this church. When I was a small child, I can remember things like that. I can remember the joy of the Lord being in the midst, and I can remember that even that the churches in the area was on fire for God. But now it's become so rare that you've got to search with all your heart just to find a church to go to that's anointed and on fire for God. When we was young people, it first started, we could go nearly everywhere and feel the presence of God, which we can now. But I'm talking about we could go and see the light in the churches that we went to. It's got to where now when we go to churches, it seems even hard to even feel the joy of the Lord unless you get up and pray and preach it down or sing it down by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There's been a falling away. I know that in talking about nobody has a vision for lost souls. That is because there is such a falling away that the little bit that we did have that did do these things have lost and went down in defeat. There is a great falling away in America. There may be a form of godliness, but the power has been denied. I was thinking about how that as I was driving down the road thinking of this message. I was thinking about how that every nation, the Bible says in the 9th chapter of Psalms, I believe 17th verse, that every nation that forget God is going to be turned into hell. Amen. And he talks about the wicked, everyone that is wicked is going to be turned into hell. Amen. And I thought about nations where kids are starving to death. It seems like they're so innocent, yet they're starving to death. For it seems like that God would show some kind of mercy upon them. But listen, when the elders of that nation turned against God and started serving idol gods, then God had no other choice than to cause that nation to be turned into hell. Of course, the children will go to heaven. But to think of the suffering of this life simply because those that are in rule, the Bible says in one place, it's the leaders that cause the people to err. Because they turned away from God, innocent people have to suffer. But one thing we can think about is how we read in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, how that we have a mystery. Paul says we have a mystery right here. It talks about how that we're not all going to sleep, but some of it's going to be changed. Amen. Thinking about how that in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it talks about how the evil is going to come upon the world. And I was reading through it today, and as I read it, I thought, this has already happened. A lot of this has already happened. And my mind went to how that the devil has so easily rocked people to sleep. I'm not scolding anyone. But it's become that the cares of life has become so great that it's such a struggle just to keep your head above water that a lot of times we forget the joy and the mercy of God. And as I said at the first, if the devil can get you depressed or oppressed of Satan, then he can have the battle 90% won. But we're going to have to hold on to the arm of God and as we hold on to the arm of God, we're going to have faith in God. Amen. It seems like anymore that we're so ashamed of trying to keep our lives consecrated to God that we're afraid to look at God. Amen. I heard a man one time give an example of how that he was standing and he said, I want two brothers to come forth, brought two brothers forth. And he told one brother, now you're going to be Jesus and the other one's going to be a Christian. He called another forth and he said, now you're going to be the devil. And he said, devil, I want you to walk around this church and I want the Christian to stay one arm's length away from him. I mean, no matter where that devil goes, you make sure you stay away from that devil by one arm's length. And he said that as the devil was walking around, that man stood at least one arm's length away from him just to make sure even when the man would turn to him, he would always back away. And the man said, I want to show you a picture. Over here's Jesus, and this man is so busy trying to stay away from the works of the devil or from the devil that he has walked and left Jesus Christ. A lot of times we try to take our salvation into our own hands. That's impossible. It's impossible for anybody to be a Christian without God. There is no way in this life that you could ever do good on your own. The Bible says it's not even in a man to direct his own steps. You're going to have to hang on to the horns of the altar and let God fight your battles. And when you let God fight your battles, the devil will have to flee. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're living in a bad time today, that's true. Everywhere you turn, there's oppression. Everywhere you go, somebody has just done something that has almost astonished you, but not quite because you're getting used to it. There was a person that I knew very well just the other day. Came in on his job. Very cheerful man. He was a nervous man, but he was a man that you couldn't help but liking. Every time I'd go to him, well, he'd go out his way to help me on parts I needed and stuff like this. I tried to talk to him about the Lord, but he would let you talk for a little bit, and then he'd cut you off. And when you get cut off, you're going to have to leave, because when the Spirit of the Lord ain't there, you're just wasting your time. And I tried, and I tried, and it just didn't work. And I would pray and ask God to help me talk to him, but I couldn't, and then the burden lifted. I'd go in, and we were still friendly. When I'd come to the door, he'd holler at me. And we would talk friendly, but I could never feel that draw to talk to him again. I went the other day. They told me, they said, "Did you hear about this person?" I said, "No, what?" They said, "Well, he's dead." I said, "What happened to him?" They said, "He took his life." I don't know about you, but it hurts me. Even if I don't know the people, it hurts me. I said, "What happened?" They said, "Well, he come in a little late, and he delivered some parts," which he never did. He went out on Skyline Drive, took some flex pipe, stuck it on exhaust pipe, stuck it in his car, and sat there until it killed him. That was on a Thursday morning around 8:30. They didn't find him until about Friday, 1 o'clock. And they couldn't open him because of carbon monoxide, after you die, it keeps killing you until you swell and you burst. And it hurt. And I prayed, and I said, "God, why?" I prayed many a time. I said, "God, if someone's going to die somewhere, and I want you to make a way that I can get to them people." Just the other day, there was a man that I talked to over and over and over. God would direct me to go talk to people, and I would go talk to this person. And he'd tell me, he said, "I want to be saved. I want to be saved." But he never would do it. And he kept on until a girl shot him in the head with a shotgun. He's still alive. I don't know his condition. But why gamble away your life? The world is evil. The evil is in the world to such an extent that it's impossible to keep your children away from it. The only thing that you're going to be able to do is to turn it over to God. I dread the thoughts of my daughter ever growing up and going to school. When I was in high school, that's been 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. Drugs flowed like water at that time. And it was even getting to the place then that the teachers were turning their heads because they don't know how to cope with it. You go tell on somebody for having drugs like that, and the parents will get a hold of you. I've seen it happen. When I worked in the schools, I'd raise up desks, and a lot of things would fall out, and there was a lot of times that alcohol would come out of these little children's desks and other things. And it would grieve me because there was nothing that you feel powerless to do anything. And the innocent children are brought on into a world of hell and of hate. They don't know any better other than what they see on television, because mom and dad, that's all they're doing is watching television. I talk to those on the job, and I'm not very popular, which I don't care at all, because God told me to preach it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach it. Because they may get mad at me, but I want to save some innocent soul that they're dragging to hell. Oh, some people got their hearts and minds set on going to hell. That's all right if you want to go to hell, but don't drag all your friends in with you. I talked to one of them. I said, "If you didn't go out every night and drink up all the money you got, you could take your kid to church and maybe teach them something about God." He told me it was none of my business. I said, "Yes, it is my business. Because I want to see him to get into church and I want to see him straighten up." He told me to get out of his life. I said, "I'm not worried about your life at this matter. I'm worried about your kids' lives." Listen, when I see sin, I get mad. When I see the devil doing what he's doing and getting away with it, I get angry. Someone said, "You're not to get angry." Jesus didn't get mad. Yes, he did too. He whipped them out of the temple. The Bible says he looked up on them, the Pharisees, with anger. You have a right to get mad. Jesus didn't walk around with a smile on his face all the time. Because when he looked at the hypocrites of that day, it made him angry. If I had a plan for people to go by and I seen some people that were out in it, that were distorting the facts and making it some other way for their benefit, I'd get very angry. God's not going to tolerate it anymore. God's getting tired of it. And he's got so tired of it now that anything can happen. And he's got so tired of it that I believe that if you did fast and pray, that it would be too late. They say God honors honest prayer. Yes, he does. God does honor it. But when God told Jeremiah, he loved Jeremiah, but he told Jeremiah, don't you pray for him anymore. Amen. And it's hard to pray for America. Used to, I could. I could get down and have a good prayer. But now when I get down, I feel that in my heart, don't pray. You know why? I'll tell you why. In Revelation, it says, strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen those that remain. That's why. We've got to the place now that it's to strengthen those that remain. Had a person tell me the other day, why didn't I go and do these things here? And I said, brother, I'm running myself to death for trying to strengthen the things that remain. And he said, well, I know, but you ought to go do this. I said, I know I ought to do this. And if you feel that way, then maybe God's wanting you to do this, but I'm trying to strengthen the things that remain. Somebody would say, what, the young people are all going to go to hell? They won't straighten up. They probably won't, but I'm going to try to strengthen those that remain. Listen, we need your prayers and you need our prayers. We need each other. There's no division nowhere. I don't like the generation gap. Never was a generation gap. The Holy Ghost told me a long time ago, standing at this altar, a woman come in that from another place that did not know me. I was sitting at home, I was shaving, and I was looking in the mirror thinking, we don't have to live like them. Times have changed. Standing at the altar and was honest of heart. Person came up there and called me out by name and said, Jeffrey, what it took for the old is going to take for the young. And that's true. What it takes for the old is going to take for the young. Somebody said, I don't understand all these different things that you all had to pull off. Listen, what it took for the old is going to take for the young. I want to get close to God. I want more of God. The Bible says, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. Everything that comes before me when I pray, I want to get rid of that thing because I want to have a clear channel with God. Someone says, it doesn't matter what kind of channel you have. I know people live down the road or wherever, and they do all kinds of things. They've got the joy of the Lord. How many times have you heard that? I don't know whether to do or not. You see, when I go to heaven, I'm going to stand for that person. I'm standing for myself. And I'm afraid that when I stand before God and I say that person down the road does all this, he's going to say, I ain't concerned about that. I'm concerned about you. What did I tell you to do? Didn't I tell you to straighten up? Didn't I tell you to take these things off? And you try to use a little flimsy excuse that they do it? Bible says when we stand in judgment, we're going to stand speechless. Every little excuse that you thought it was so clever is going to sound so bad up there. We're in a bad shape. The world is in a terrible shape. There's something that's going to happen. God's impressed on me over and over and over. I've had dreams. There's something bad going to happen in America. It's going to be something that's going to happen that it's going to divide a lot of people. But I want everybody, including me, to hang on to God. Because this is where strength is. There's going to be things that's going to happen that you're going to lose your joy. When David lost his joy, he lost his strength. So we're going to need joy. I want to get a song. Job, the 2nd chapter and 10th verse. After Job went through all his troubles, and after Job had all kinds of trials that faced him, and he never turned from God, he held on to God. That's going to be hard, but we're going to have confidence in God. We may feel like that God's not doing us a right, but I'm asking you to have confidence in God. God knows what he's doing. Job 42nd chapter 10th verse, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The greatest strength I ever found and living for God was praying for my friends. God has moved and anointed me mightier in greater ways praying for my friends than praying for myself. And I've asked God constantly, in which He has, God, You give me a burden constantly that I could pray for someone that's my friend. And God has done that. Because I want to see people make it to heaven. I love everybody, and I'm sure that a lot of them do too. And we all want to make it to heaven. So I need your prayers, you need my prayers. Job got everything back and he gained when he prayed for his friends. Listen, we've all got a home someday. And that someday is very close. It's not going to be very long at all. I feel like that it's just about to happen any day. So we ought to strengthen those things that remain while we still have the opportunity and the chance. Because Jesus is about to come through the clouds. I know that things are going to get far worse. And I'm not trying to bring all kinds of depression on you by letting you look at them. But I want to tell you that no matter what happens, Jesus is about to come and to take us out of it. Someone would say, that's all you Christians do is moan about how Jesus is going to come and you can't wait to leave. It's simply because this isn't my home. I'm just a pilgrim here. I have a home in heaven and I intend to go there and rejoice forevermore. Praise God. Working that old river, watching the drift come down, the filth of living. You can't go anywhere in the world today without finding something that shows human existence by the trash. Looking at that river and you can't see, you couldn't see a thousandth of an inch underneath it. It's so dirty. Think about the crystal river of life, how I can see plumb to the bottom. River, I may have to work on you here, but then one day I'm going to be on one that I can see plumb to the bottom. The reason that river's crystal clear is because everything in heaven's going to be crystal clear. My soul's going to be crystal clear. My mind's going to be crystal clear. Everything inside, everything I have anything to do with, is going to be crystal clear. The Bible says there's no darkness at all in God. It's a light. A light that shines forth from the... We ain't going to have no use of having a sun in heaven. The Bible talks about the sun here on earth. It's going to pass away. After the tribulation, it's going to get dark. Scientists are scared to death. Somebody would say, why did they spend all that money for the space shuttle and the telescope to look at the solar system? You want to know why? Because they don't know about God. They don't know about heaven. So they're concerned. They're going to try to preserve their existence the only way they know how. The Bible says they've learned and never come to the knowledge of the truth. They become ignorant. But let's look at that home in heaven. Anytime you have troubles here, just look at the home in heaven. Because it's going to be wonderful. Think of that song, won't it be wonderful there? There are not going to be any burdens. Not going to have to bear any burdens anymore because it's going to be wonderful there. Somebody say, preacher, you're just 27 years old and you're moaning something awful about living this life. You ain't a kidding because I've already seen my heavenly life. When you see things far better, you want to get rid of what you got now. When I've got an old clunker I have to drive down the road and I see I get an opportunity to get a better car, I want that better car. Amen.